Direct from Studio D Chevalier in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. And with us for the second week in a row, everyone's favorite bison, it's Andy Kelly.
What up?
What up, G? Or would that be A? Or AK? I'm not up with the teen lingo.
Neither am I. I'll take G, I'll take A.
Whichever. One of those alphabet letters. That'll do.
I'll even take some Greek. You can call me Sigma if you like.
Sigma. And also with us for another week in a row, he hasn't broken down yet, it is the inimitable Colin Bott.
Hello, everybody.
See, he's on top of his game, you know? Like, last week, he kind of freaked out and started just spewing randomness, but he's on top of his game.
It's a little short circuit here and there.
So I'm hopeful that he'll stick with us
throughout
the entire awesome cast here today. Of course, we pretend it's Wednesday when we record these awesome casts, but of course, it is not Wednesday. What day is it, Andy?
It is Sunday.
It is Sunday, and with Sunday comes football, and just recently, the early games were done, and that's one of the reasons that I had to wait until now to call Andy, because he was watching his Steelers lose, unfortunately, to the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm in a state of mourning at this point.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It was a tough loss. I mean, division rivals, but I was telling Andy that because of football pick'em pool implications, I had to root against his team today. And my wife, who is normally rooting for the Steelers because Aaron Smith, number 91, a defensive lineman for the Steelers, she went to high school and college with him, so she's a huge fan of his, so she roots for him all the time. Because of the pick'em, she's involved in the pick'em this year for the first time. She was rooting against the Steelers, which just drove her crazy.
Blasphemy.
It was probably as close to blasphemy as she'll come this week, but she's actually obsessed, if you can believe that. It's just craziness how obsessed she is over this pick'em thing. But guess what?
What?
She is at the top of the heap.
No way.
In the pick'em right now. After 2 weeks, she is leading the pack of like 20 people in this pick'em league that I'm in.
Nice.
It's actually Pat Angelo's pick'em league, and Pat Angelo, of course, we've all heard on this very program.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. And he's the one that does this pick'em every year, and my wife, of all people, is leading the pack. And so she's so obsessed because she has to stay on top. And so she has a little list, and she watches all the games now. So it's great. You know, she would watch football before, but now she won't miss it.
Nice. Congratulations. Go out to Heather. Let's hope that she can keep it up.
Yep. And, well, I'm actually on the other side of that. I'm just hoping she falters so I can overtake her.
Oh,
because if I am, yeah, I am nothing if not selfish.
That's not nice at all.
And in the Pick'em League, there's a bison. Is that you, Andy?
No. What the?
Or is this some cheap imitation Chinese knockoff bison?
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to call that bison out on the carpet and see who the real bison is.
Yeah. Maybe with an arm wrestling competition.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's an actual bison, I might lose.
Well, that's true, because they are notoriously strong.
They are,
but
yes.
I think you could take him.
Well, thank you for your faith in me.
Sure. We're not actually going to talk about football on today's program. What we're actually going to do, as a public service to those of you who might be thinking, you know, where should I go on vacation? Maybe somewhere with drinks, debauchery, and a lot of gambling and like shows.
Oh, I know a place.
What kind of place would that be?
It sounds an awful lot like Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Nevada, where, of course, Andy Kelly lives and where, of course, I visit multiple times throughout the year. And, you know, everybody knows that you can drink around the clock there, and you know that there's no problem with that. And, well, I mean, you don't drink, right?
Yes, I do not drink.
You don't drink, but I do, and so that's a great place to go if you enjoy the alcohol every now and then. And, of course, you can eat like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't eat, right?
I eat too much.
I'm on the same side of that right now, too. But everybody knows you can eat like a pig. You can drink like what fish drink, I guess? People say that you drink like a fish, although I'm not convinced that they drink. And you can do all these other things, but there's so much entertainment. There is so much competition for the entertainment dollar. We here at the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, with the help of the Bison and the Colin Bott.
If you look at things in a karmic way, this was the payback for the whole tripping a cripple.
We're going to help you sift through your entertainment options the next time you visit Sin City. Now, me personally, I've seen Mystère, which is one of the Cirque du Soleil shows, and that's at Treasure Island, or TI. I guess it's called TI now,
yes,
which stands for, what, Tits and Imbeciles,
yeah,
because they did away with the pirate theme.
But there still is a significant, swashbuckler, buccaneer-type theme there.
Okay, so they just kind of shortened the name, but they didn't want to spend $1 million redecorating the place? Is that the deal?
Yeah,
so it's more like they went from being like the inside of a Spanish galleon to the inside of a Spanish galleon turned into a brothel?
Yes, precisely.
Okay, But they still have the Mystère, which we'll get to what these things all are in a bit. I've seen O, which is another Cirque du Soleil show. I've seen Penn and Teller, which is I've actually seen twice, and they're at the Rio. I've seen Mac King, which is an afternoon show. It was voted by the LVRJ, which is the Las Vegas Review Journal, as not only the best bargain show, but like king of the afternoon. A lot of times, people ask, what should I see? And you say, well, see Mac King, as Penn Jillette said on his show many times, see Mac King because you don't have to waste your time because it's in the afternoon. but it is a really good show. And I've also seen Mamma Mia, which is a Broadway style show.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. The tickets were bought for us, and it's a show that's done completely based on the music of ABBA. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to suck so bad. And it really didn't. It was a good show. Now, because you live there,
yeah,
and I know that you get special treatment sometimes.
Sometimes.
What all shows have you seen in Las Vegas, Andy Kelly?
I have seen Ka, which is a Cirque du Soleil show.
Which, of course, was recently featured on the CSI season premiere.
Yeah, which I found that season premiere to be quite lame.
Yeah, getting off topic for just a second, I was actually sitting there about three quarters of the way through the season premiere thinking, this is the worst season premiere I've ever seen of any show ever.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the two murders featured in the season premiere, one was an accident and the other was a suicide.
Yeah, and it's like there was no big payoff. It was just like, oh, wow, we were kind of wrong in our assumptions. Let's move on quickly.
Yeah.
But, so the Ka was featured in CSI, and I wonder if that's going to start a trend. I wonder if there's going to be more and more actual entertainment featured in CSI. Product placement, I guess E.T. It goes from E.T. with the Reese's Pieces all the way to Ka and CSI. We've evolved that far.
Exactly.
But back to your entertainment list. You've seen Ka, and?
Yes. I have also seen Mystère at Treasure Island.
Good show.
Which is a Cirque du Soleil show. I have seen Zumanity, which is a Cirque du Soleil show at New York, New York. And almost every hotel casino in town has their risque topless-type show. And Zumanity happens to be New York, New York's topless show. Say it's not entirely topless, so it's weird because it's a cross between the topless show and Cirque, which is kind of odd.
So those crazy French Canadians were sitting around in their Cirque head offices going, we haven't really showed enough boobs yet.
Exactly.
We should probably do that.
Exactly.
What are we going to call it? Zumanity?
Brilliant!
Oui, oui! Zumanity!
But strangely enough, now I've seen three of the five Cirque shows in town, and that was actually my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it mostly because anybody who hasn't seen a Cirque show, they have their own language that they use within the show, and it's just kind of gibberish. It sounds French, but it's gibberish.
It's like Finnish. It's like a cross between Finnish and French.
Yeah.
Which, if you've ever heard a Finlander talk, they're just nuts.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, even way more so than the French.
I really enjoyed the fact that Zumanity was in English.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, exactly. So so I've seen those three Cirque shows. I have yet to see O and the new Love, but hopefully we will see those soon.
The Love is Cirque du Soleil takes on the Beatles, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And where is that show being played?
That is at the Mirage.
Okay.
And I can only assume that it's the permanent replacement of to Siegfried and Roy's show.
Siegfried and Roy, because, of course, Roy had high blood pressure, and the Tiger alleviated that by tearing him open and spilling some blood.
Exactly.
That was the smartest Tiger ever, I swear to God.
I was going to throw out his name there, but I can't think of what it was. Wasn't it Manticore or something like that?
Manticore MD.
There you go.
They refused to kill the Tiger, and now he's running a small family practice in the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly.
Roar! I'm having a little pain in my side. Roar! Roar! The smartest Tiger. This Tiger went to medical school, and this is the coolest Tiger ever. I'm not going to go
exactly
see him.
Now, that's not his name, but I think it's Manticore or something. Manticore, that's
Ricardo
what it is,
Montalban?
It does. And he likes,
welcome
he likes to rest
fantasy
his stripes on rich Corinthian leather.
Yeah, exactly. Corinthian leather. That's the coolest stuff ever, because it doesn't even exist.
Exactly. But so I've seen those three shows. I have also seen Penn and Teller. You and I went to go see that.
Yep.
You and I both went to go see The Amazing Jonathan.
Oh, that's right. I left him off my list. How did I forget that?
I don't know, because that was fun.
It was fun. You know, the funny thing is, it's billed as what, comedy magic.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes right down to it, because he's not a magician at all. He's really just a prop comic.
Exactly. A very, very vulgar prop comic.
Yeah. He's really just one step above Carrot Top.
Yeah.
But except he's fat.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have the guns that Carrot Top has.
Right,
now.
Exactly, because Carrot Top has been, you know, he's been pumping up, so.
I'll say. It's carrying all those huge backpacks.
That's right. Well, when you get made fun of that much in public, you really have to be able to, you know, lay the smack down on people, so.
Exactly.
But, exactly. Yeah, The Amazing Jonathan was a fun show.
Oh, it was.
But a word to the wise, a little hint for you kids who are thinking about going to see The Amazing Jonathan. Most showrooms will allow you to purchase, you know, certain, they don't necessarily, you don't go row by row, but they have sections. And the theater that The Amazing Jonathan plays at, it was the Sahara. The Congo Room at the Sahara is where Amazing Jonathan currently plays at.
Yeah.
You could buy standard seating or VIP seating. And so I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to get the VIP seating. We're going to see this show up close, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And the joke was on me because out of the, what, maybe 200 seats in the theater?
Yeah, all but maybe 10.
All but maybe 10 are VIP seating. And so the guy seating us, you know, gives us the standard line, oh, okay, I'm going to hook you guys up. I'm going to hook you guys up with great seats. And then he just kind of sat us, and I'm thinking, I don't think he hooked us up at all. I think he sat us in the seats that, you know, he didn't hook us up.
No.
These are far from VIP seats. I could have saved a whole lot of money and seen the show from exactly the same angle if I didn't buy the VIP seats.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
But I mean, outside of that, that was a minor speed bump in a really good show.
Yeah,
because it was a fine show. It was one I would see again. It's one I'd recommend.
Absolutely.
And it was it was a great time.
And then let me see additional shows that I have seen. I saw Avenue Q at the Wynn.
Which, yeah, damn it, and that one closed.
Yes.
And I so wanted to see that, and I had an opportunity to see it, and I kind of was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I just kind of blew it and didn't see it, and then it closed and it went away forever.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I mean they really don't give these shows a lot of time to really, you know, carve out their niche. You know that Hairspray at the Luxor. Like lasted like 2 months.
Well, and I think what happens with a lot of these Broadway productions that are then brought to Vegas is they really don't give them a lot of time. If they don't do well in their first few months, I mean, you really have to hope for people just going nuts over this for it to stay.
Yeah.
Because if it just starts bringing in, okay, well, it's pretty typical, they'll just disband it.
Yes.
That seems to happen more often than not. But also, a lot of Broadway shows are coming to Vegas.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is Spamalot coming to the Wynn?
Oh.
I thought I read that Spamalot is one of the shows that Wynn is going to bring out.
Spamalot is coming, but I can't remember which casino it's coming to. But that would make sense if Avenue Q is not there any longer.
It's not necessarily going to replace Avenue Q, but it's in the works. I'm pretty sure it's in the works for Wynn.
Okay. So. And then I know the Producers is also coming to town.
Is it?
Yes.
Hmm.
I believe it is going to Paris.
Ah.
Which probably to replace We Will Rock You, which I also
flopped
saw.
Unmercifully, right?
What's that?
Was it that We Will Rock You flopped horribly, or was it just that you said it was bad, or was it both?
You know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how long it was there, but when we went to go see it, I thought it was quite cheesy.
And what exactly was it?
It was it is basically the rock version of Mamma Mia. It was a storyline revolving around the songs of Queen.
Okay.
And so when you're writing, I can only imagine, when you're writing a musical that has to encompass so many different songs from one artist, you got to take a lot of, you know, liberties.
Sure.
With the storyline, and I mean, I personally thought it was just all over the place. I thought it was quite cheesy. Now, the music was really, the story thing is forced storyline for the very reasons I just, you know, enumerated here. And I just,
you know, it's funny that reason that you just enumerated was completely lost to some technological glitch.
Oh no!
I got, and then you said for that reason that I just enumerated. So if you could go back, like, I don't know, 15 seconds in time and start over, that'd be great.
Oh, no, like, well, what I was saying was the music was great. The house band was great that was playing the Queen songs.
Yeah.
But when you have to, when you have these limitations in the storyline because they have to revolve around these songs and the characters within the songs, many of which were written 30 years ago,
sure,
it really puts limitations on, you know, the storyline and whatnot, and more often than not, the storyline is just seems forced. You know, it's not.
Now we probably should have decided on categories.
Exactly. Thank you, Colin Bart. Colin Bart understands.
He does. He, in his own way,
yeah,
he understands. He can't articulate. He's a lot like the tiger that ripped,
exactly,
Roy's head off. He knows. He just. Yeah, exactly. He just can't express his feelings. And you know, for the reasons that you have now re-enumerated about We Will Rock You and why it was bad, that was kind of the exact opposite with Mamma Mia. I was amazed at how well the songs of ABBA, which of course we're all familiar with, unfortunately, Dancing Queen and Does Your Mother Know and all their other gold hits, really made a good musical. I mean, it did. It was amazing how well that was put together and how enjoyable and how entertaining the whole show was.
Huh. That's and that is one I have yet to see, and now it's going to have to go on the list.
It's certainly worth being on the list. But now, of all the Cirque du Soleil shows that you've seen, I didn't hear you mention O.
No, I have not seen O yet.
And O at the Bellagio is a very impressive show. And, you know, every single Cirque show is really a marvel of engineering as well as acrobatics and just ambient entertainment. And just it's the kind of show that you can go and see and you can go back and you can try to tell people about. All of the Cirque shows are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even encompass in words that can come out of your mouth what these shows are.
Yeah.
The only thing you can tell people is you have to see it. It's worth the money. Don't feel bad about dropping a couple hundred dollars to see one show, because after you leave, you will realize that it's all worth it. These shows cannot be described on paper or in words. It's just something that has to be seen. And O is pretty much the epitome of that sort of show. It's the stage is also a giant water tank. And so they've got their trademark moving stage thing, and they do all this stuff in water. Not all the scenes are in water, but there's water in every scene. I don't know if that made any sense.
That made perfect sense, but then again, I live here, so.
There you go.
And yeah. And I have written for those clients, so I know it's going on there. But you're absolutely right. It's you'll never see anything like it anyplace else. So yeah, drop the $100 to $150 for a ticket and go see it, because you'll never see it again unless you come back to town.
That's right. And of course, Cirque does other traveling shows. I know that Dre Leone was in Denver last year. But
yes,
I think that you don't get necessarily – you'll get the same acrobatics and you'll get the same weird French-Canadian feel out of a traveling Cirque show. But unless you go and see an installed show with their engineering marvels and their house band and their lights and everything that goes on, you're really not going to get that full impact that you can get when you, because Mystère is a great show, and Mystère and O are opposite in the sense that if you see Mystère, the best place to be, in my opinion, would be close to the front of the balcony center.
Yes,
because there's so much ambient stuff going on outside of the stage. It's the best place to be to catch everything. O, on the other hand, you want to be as close to the stage as possible because it all happens right there.
Oh, that's awesome!
And the stuff is so amazing. The stage itself is entertaining because of how it morphs into so many different things. It's like a high end Gallagher show. Bring a poncho because you're going to get wet. But you want to be right up front.
Yeah.
And I think those tickets are like, am I just crazy, or are they $180 bucks for a front row center?
No, I believe they're $150. I don't think there's any Cirque shows that go above $150.
Okay. And still, people, you know, listening might think, $150 bucks per ticket? But it's really, you know, you'll drop the money. It's like that scene in Field of Dreams where James Earl Jones says, they will pass the money from their hand without even thinking. And once you've seen a Cirque show, you will pass that money from your hand without giving it a second thought, because you know you're going to get your money's worth in the entertainment value alone. Just watching the stage move is worth $80.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's just a fun show.
And, you know, and the listeners should also know that there's three different ticket prices. So, you know, you can go all out and go for the $150, but then there's also ones around $100, and then there's ones like around $70.
Yeah, which, you know, for some people might still be high, but if you're seeing a Cirque show for $70 a pop, that's a bargain in my opinion.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like, and like you said, you can go see the touring Cirque shows, but, you know, they're not going to be as, you know, they're not going to have the how many metric, you know, meters and tons of water that O's going to have.
Yeah, it's just not possible.
You know, and they're not going to have the 180-ton moving stage that Ka has.
Now, tell me a little bit about Ka, because I know that just a little snippet on CSI isn't going to do it justice. And I'm sure that, you know, like I said, it's hard to put into words exactly what these shows are about. But maybe you can give us kind of a synopsis.
Five trained monkeys.
Of what Ka is about.
Oh, yeah. Ka is actually the first Cirque show in town that has a plot line.
Ooh.
Yeah. Most.
Well, actually, Mystère has kind of a plot line. It's like a dream sequence.
Yeah.
But it's really French-Canadian. It's really convoluted. So you're saying that Ka is, like, cohesive?
Yeah. There's actually a story to it.
Okay.
And it's basically there's these two twins, Imperial twins, that kind of get they're separated at this big celebration. And then the whole rest of the show is them trying to reunite and them going through different little worlds and, you know, regions and areas. You know, it could be like an ice kingdom, you know, a jungle sequence, an ocean and beach sequence. And then it all culminates at the end when they finally reunite. And, yeah. And then probably,
so a touching fish out of water reuniting twin separated at birth story.
Exactly. Exactly.
Perfect.
Except they're adolescents.
Oh.
Separated at adolescence.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. And then the big thing is, it literally is the stage. The stage is movable. It's if I remember correctly, it's 180 tons, this
yeah.
stage. And it moves independently. And throughout the show, it turns into a beach, a glacier, a ship. And then at the end, it's a battleground. If anybody saw CSI, there's this whole battle that takes place while the stage is 90 degrees.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, it'll hit you in the head and then crush you to death.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Beware the crush zone. We learned that from CSI. Thank you, CSI, for bringing us such pointed information on safety.
Absolutely. So, that one's definitely worth seeing, and it has its own little niche because, like I said, it has its own little plot and storyline and whatnot.
Yeah. Now, have you heard anything about Love?
I heard that it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it's just awesome. And I'll tell you what, when they had the premiere, one of my coworkers got a pass to go see it. Now, they were there, and they were pretty much, this was he and his girlfriend, they were pretty much seat fillers, but they got to be on the red carpet, and they had access to all the different parties that were going on at the time. But, I mean, talk about, I mean, it's based on the music of the Beatles, as we said, and talk about a premiere. Paul McCartney was there. Ringo Starr was there. Yoko Ono. Julian Lennon. Sean Lennon. George Harrison's widow. Everybody associated with the Beatles was at this premiere. That's how big it was.
Except Michael Jackson, right?
Except the guy who actually owns the rights
yeah,
to the music.
Except the guy that's getting paid.
Exactly. Now, I think there was a Michael Jackson impersonator from the Stratosphere there, but I don't think he counts.
No, he doesn't necessarily count because he's not getting the paycheck.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because he's probably less insane than Michael Jackson.
I'm sure he is. But then again, he is a person impersonating an insane person. So how insane is that?
Is it acting or is it real life?
I just blew your mind. You have to be twice as insane to make a career out of impersonating an insane person.
Wow.
He is certifiable, that dude.
Oh.
Pirates of the Caribbean in it.
And speaking of pirates, the one, yeah. the best free show in Las Vegas, now long gone, the pirate battle outside of the old Treasure Island, now TI, has been replaced by, from what I've read and seen, it's a thing called Sirens of TI. Where
Sirens of TI, yeah.
A bunch
but
of
you know
scantily
what?
Clad women dance around on the boats instead of an actual pirate battle taking
but
place.
But you know what? Yes, there are scantily closed, quote-unquote, sirens, but there is still the battle. Now it's just pirates versus the sirens.
Hmm.
Instead of pirates versus pirates. There's still the ships. There's still the sinking of the ships or ship. It's just now it's just slightly different. Now these pirates are battling these sexy, sexy sirens.
I'm not... I don't know. I'm not sure I like that. But, you know, then again.
Yeah, but it's still very similar in as far as the effects are concerned, and it's still free, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it is hard to charge admission to something that's on the street. But
exactly.
I always considered that to be the best entertainment for the money because, of course, it was free, like you said. And Sam's Town has a little little laser display that they go that they do every 20 minutes or so. That's pretty
yeah.
cool. And Caesars has...
The fountains at Bellagio.
Yeah. The fountains at Bellagio are pretty cool. The closer you get to them, though, you can hear the compressed air firing.
Yeah.
It sounds a little odd. Caesars has a strange little show down in the shops, which is a little weird. But or do they have just the one, or do they have more than one? I can't remember.
I think it's just that one, but I'm not certain.
Yeah. Because I know I saw one and it had Dionysius and some other, it's all animatronic, of course.
Yes.
There's just a lot of entertainment choices. Some of them free, but most of them you have to pay for, and some of them you have to pay dearly for.
Yeah.
But it's really all worth it.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's like you can see Matt King in the afternoon do his comedy magic thing for $30 a pop, and then you pay like $70 a pop to see Penn and Teller in the evening at the Rio do a comedy magic show. Two totally different styles of comedy and magic, both more than worth the money.
Yeah, and you had brought up being up close and in the poncho section. We were actually in the up close poncho section for our most recent show that we went to, which was Blue Man Group.
Yes, of course, the amazing Las Vegas Review-Journal, thrilling Las Vegas Weekly, psh, Andy Kelly.
Exactly. But that's all based solely on drumming skills.
Right. You had mentioned that. But since we didn't get really far into it outside of you just saying see it, what was it like being in the poncho section for Blue Man?
It was not as messy as you would think. It's basically just a safety precaution. And it's not even that, in that I got a little bit of stuff on me, but any of the paint or whatnot that they use is completely water soluble and comes out of your clothing. But
so it wasn't like being at a GWAR show.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. Everything pretty much stays on stage. But it was it was a feast for both the eyes and the ears, and great. Mm. You know, of course, I'm biased because I'm a drummer and I like anything drumming and. All that was very good, but just very entertaining. It's very difficult to describe.
Now, the biggest question I have, and I'm sure more than one of our seven listeners out there has thought of this already as well, do they give you the poncho or do you have to bring your own?
No, it is provided.
Okay, so it's a lot like riding the Maid of the Mist at Niagara Falls. They give you the poncho and then you go and see the show.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Yes. And and I won't give it away, but crepe paper plays a big part in the show.
Crepe paper?
Yeah. It was you definitely have to go see it and see how it factors in, but it factors in a very interesting way.
I really like that one.
Well, thank you, Colin Bott.
It is, again, like you said, O is on your list, Blue Man Group is now on mine, and I will be thinking the whole time, where the hell is the crepe paper? What the hell are they going to do with the damn crepe paper? But as happens every time that we reach this point in the show, we're out of time.
Aw, damn it.
I know, but we've had a great time talking about some of the entertainment options that await you if you visit Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. And we've had a great time talking with everyone's favorite bison, Andy Kelly.
Aw, shucks you.
If you say so.
And, of course, the Colin bot with us once again. Soon we're going to have the actual Colin back. Can you believe that?
I've missed Colin.
I know, I have too. He's going to be unbusy soon, and he's going to be back in studio, and we're going to have a good time. We're probably, hopefully, the next time we have Colin live, we'll also have Mark Paglia in studio, who is the producer of a couple of movies that that were not very good. But we're going to talk about them because one of the movies features prominently in a crime that happened recently. Well, it doesn't feature prominently at all. I'm actually lying. But we're going to talk about it, and it's going to be fun. And we've got a whole lot of stuff on the horizon. So join us next Wednesday for more big-time fun right here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Thank you for including me. It's so bittersweet because I'm like the backup quarterback, you know. I want Colin to be better. I want him to be in 100% tip-top shape, but I also like getting my playtime, too.